Gummel von dem Lashonara.
Gummel, but other people will speak Lashonara. Yeah.
Started at the Torah in Northwest London, Friday, 15th of October, Tes Cheshvan, Rabbi Mordechai Weiss, The Purpose of Life.
So as usual, I'd like to start off by thanking the organizers, Dudi, and all the others to give me the opportunity to speak here. And as usual, this is a privilege, which I constantly look forward to. And I hope you do too. And Hashem should help that we should be able to do this for many, many more years. Mitzvah Hashem, Gesundheit. This week's Parsha, Parsha's Lech Lecha, is a very interesting parasha. We find the nesoyon of Rav Avini, Rabbi Yishlom tells of Rav Avini, Lech lechu me'artzuchu, imi me'ladotuchu me'vayisu v'ichu. So I'd like to start with two points, two kashas that the Mefarshim asks, which have to be addressed. The first obvious question which all the Rishonim ask is, what's the nesoyon of Rav Avini? Let's imagine for a moment a person hasn't got much money, hasn't got any kids, for many, many years already, sitting at home in his house. He gets a telephone call. It's the Gab of Reb Chaim Konievsky, and he wants to tell him that he has a job for him. He wants him to move to Philadelphia. He said, well, I'm a good wish to move. I'm very happy here in Golders Green, very happy here in London. Don't worry, you move to Philadelphia. He gives you a promise, within a year, you will have a child. What's going to be with the job? I've got a job here, I'm going to leave my job here. Don't worry, you're going to become a multimillionaire overnight. A multimillionaire, you're going to have children. For the next 10 years, every single year, another child. You're going to have a big family. You're going to have, not only that, you're going to become extremely famous. Everyone's going to talk about you. As a side bonus, he'll give you a special koyach. Until now, Reb Chaim Konievsky has a koyach to give a bruche. From now on, you're going to be the person. Anyone's going to need any Yeshua, we're going to call you up, we're going to give him a bruch, and that's it. How many people here would say, let me think about it, no, I don't want to take it. I have to be stupid to do that. Now, all the more so, I'm talking about the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, and he tells him, the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm the one who created you, I'm the one who created the world, and all I ask of you is one thing, move away, and don't worry, you'll have everything you need. You'll have children, you'll have a family, you'll have Ashidus. Is that considered an Asoyan? This is one of the famous tennis yonis of the Rav Avini, that for that he's become famous for all generations. And not only that, the Medrash Tanchuma says that to a certain extent, this Nesoyan was equal to the Nesoyan of the Kaidas Yitzchak. How does that make sense? Kaidas Yitzchak? The Mishnah tells him to take his child who was born after so many years, and be makriv him on the Mizbeach. And here all he's telling him is to go and become a multimillionaire and have a whole family of children. Is that the equal Nisoyan to the Nisoyan of the Akaida? This is an extremely difficult question which the Mefarshim find very difficult to explain. Another thing I saw in the Sefer Oyev Yisroel, the Akta Ruf, he asks a very interesting comment. It's a very interesting question, but it is something that has to be addressed. Rashi explains Pshat in the Pusik, Ve'eschu l'goy gudoyl v'avirechichu v'agad b'shameichu. So he says that you will be zoich ve'eschu l'goy gudoyl, that means children, you will have children. V'avirechichu means you will become a multimillionaire. And v'agad b'shameichu means you will become famous. That's one Pshat, which obviously that's probably the simple translation of the Pusik. But then Rashi goes on to say, Duv'ach, another Pshat, brings down a Medrash, that v'avirechichu means, let's see if I can find it inside, here we are, du'v'acha v'eschel o'goy gudoyl, zeh sh'omrim elekai avruam, v'avirechichu zeh sh'omrim elekai yit b'shmin esru v'seh elekai yitzchok, v'agad lo shomeichu zeh sh'omrim elekai yakif. Where is the Mekor? You found it in the Medrash. Gemure. Now we know that when it comes to Medrushim, there's probably about 1,000 Medrushim in each Pusik. And if Rashi would really want to bring down all the Medrushim, we would have a very difficult time finishing Chumash Rashi every single week, because Rashi would be that long. Now we know that Rashi usually sticks to the simple translation, the simple chat in Pusik. Rashi is not going to bring down a Medrash if it's not going to explain the simple translation in Pusik. Now, if you would ask me which one of these two pshotim is a simple translation of Pusik, I think I would say the first one. The second one definitely doesn't sound like the simple. It could be a drash, it could be a medrash. That's very nice. But Rashi is not going to bring down a medrash unless it's the guide to the push of pshat and Pusik. Why did Rashi find it important to bring down this one particular medrash, which doesn't seem to be the simple translation of Pusik? That's a very interesting question that the Oy Vissel asks. And thirdly, we know the Ramban says that Ma'asa Ovesim Elabunim, which means that everything that happened to our Oves HaKadoshim is something which is relevant to every single one of their descendants to this very day. To a certain extent, every single one of us goes through these 10 Nisyonos, and there's something we have to learn the way Avraham Avinu dealt with his Nisyon. How do we have to deal with our Nisyonos? So I'd like to suggest the following Mahalich, and that what the founder of many Sfurim say this is not. The Mishnah over says something very scary. It says this: we know that if a person does a sin, b'mayzit, on purpose, obviously he gets punished. If he does it b'shoigik, it was by mistake, then his punishment is a lot less, and could be he's not even going to get punished at all. It was a mistake. It says the Mishnah over that there's one avera that if you do it on purpose and on mistake, it's the same thing. Eichad shoigik ve'eichad b'mayzit b'chilul Hashem. When it comes to chilul Hashem, they're both equal. Now the obvious question is, why is that fair? He was a miser, he did it on purpose, and he was a shoygik. I once heard a beautiful mushul from one of the tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael, and he said this following mushul. He said as follows. He says, let's imagine for a moment a person has a factory, and by the time it comes to 2020, it's time to upgrade and to buy new machinery for his factory. His machinery is already a little bit old-fashioned. He has to buy new machinery. The only place where they sell this machinery is in Germany. He has to go down to Germany and order the exact measurement of this machinery that could fit into his factory. Now, it's going to take many, many weeks to overlook the whole process of ordering the new machinery. He sends his most loyal employee, the person who he's his best worker, he sends them, tells them, I'm going to send you on a mission now to Germany. You're going to have to be there to overlook the process of ordering new machinery. It's going to take between two or three months, the whole process. I'm going to supply your ticket there, ticket back, first class ticket. I'm going to give you 5-star accommodation in a hotel, 3 meals a day, everything on the cheshbon of the factory. All you have to do is to overlook the whole process. No problem, we'll do it. As he's about to leave to the airport, he calls him in and says, I've got one little favor to ask you. You're going to be in Germany. If you could do me a favor, have a long lost friend from Yeshiva that lives in Hamburg, if you could just pop into him one day, one afternoon, and just give him best regards from me. I haven't seen him in many, many years. Give him my regards. All right, I'll do that for you. He speaks to him every single day on the phone. How's everything going? Perfect, everything is fine. After two and a half months, he called him up and he says, for next week, I'm ready to come back home. He's excited. He's going to come back home with the new machinery. He goes to pick him up from the airport, and he brings him into his office, and he starts asking him questions. How did it go, the whole process of ordering the new machinery? What model did he buy? What make did he buy? So this fellow picks up his hand and said, oh my gosh, I forgot completely about the whole thing of the... He says, what do you mean? You told me that you accomplished your mission. She said, yes, I went all the way to Hamburg and I gave over your regards to this rabbi in Hamburg. So I accomplished my mission. I just simply forgot about making the machinery. Forgot. And he's an honest person, he really forgot. Now, is that going to be a good excuse? Obviously not. Because when you're sent for a certain mission, then the first focus has to be your mission. The secondary thing is that the favor was just a side thing. So he said, this, the Sadek and Esesul said, this is Pshat in the Mishnah. Why were we created? What's our purpose in life? Burich hiya lekaini shebru'uni lechvoida. The Rebbeinu Shalom created us for one purpose. To make a Kiddush Hashem. To be marbe kavod Shemaim. That's our purpose in life. And if a person comes up to Shemaim and says, I did everything. I learned. I didn't. But one thing I forgot to do. To make a Kiddush Hashem. then you've missed the boat. You completely missed the boat. It was a mistake. You can't say it was a mistake. Something that you were created for, you can't say it's a mistake. That was the reason why you were created. I recently heard a story. There was a person called Reb Leib Bakst. Reb Leib Bakst, I think he was one of the Rosh Hashivas. And he was a Talmud of Yeshiva Smir in Shanghai. I think it was a Talmud of Cheskel Levenstein. When he was a Bocher in Shanghai, at some point, the Leini became very ill, and he was lying in a coma. And he said afterwards that whilst he was in the coma, he saw himself coming up to Shemaim, and there was a Bezen Shemala sitting there. And the Bezen Shemala was made up of Gedolim, who was still alive, and one of them was his Rebbe, Reb Cheskel Levenstein. And Reb Cheskel Levenstein turns to him and he says, "My dear Talmud, I'd like to ask you a question. If you give the right answer, you will be saved, you will wake up, you will become healthy again. So make sure, think twice before you answer, make sure to give the right answer. My question is, why is it fair? We know a malach, an angel, only has one purpose, one mission." Yeah, Chazal say, no angel has more than one mission. "Why is it fair that us Yidden have 613 mitzvahs? Is that fair? A malach only should have one, and we should have 613? He thought for a moment and he said, "The question is not a question. We also only have one purpose in life. Our purpose in life is to make a Kiddush Hashem. There are 613 ways to make a Kiddush Hashem, but our purpose in life is the same." He said, "You gave the right answer, you will be saved." And he woke up and he became healthy again. This is our purpose in life. Now here comes the question. How do we make Kiddush Hashem? So people very often think, in order to make a Kiddush Hashem, you have to go out in the world, you have to give droshes, you have to give out sforim, you have to, I don't know what, you have to do something extreme, that the whole media should talk about it, you should have all the newspaper front pages should be speaking about it. It's a very big mistake. The Rambam has a different definition of what the definition of Kiddush Hashem. The Rambam says in Yesoda HaTorah, the end of Pairikai, what is the translation of Kiddush Hashem? He says, "Shalidai his nahagisoi." That's through the person's behavior. "Yisyahayv shem shomayim al yudoi." People should start loving the way of Hashem, the way of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he gives a couple of examples. That you should speak, "Yadabiru benachas amabriyas," speak in a very refined manner. And that, "Imerevisim," be friendly, talk to people. "Imakbino masayva punim yuchus," give them a smile. "V'ne'el of mehem v'aynam olvan," if someone teases you, don't tease them back. "Mechabed lohem," be mechabed everyone, respect everyone. "V'noisa v'noisim b'minya," that means that whenever you do your job, you should work in an honest way, in a refined way. "Ad sheyim tzi'i hakul mekalsimoy," so everyone says, "Wow, this is a beautiful person." And people start loving him and they say, "I want to be like him." This is what the Rambam says. This is the definition of Kiddush Hashem. In other words, you don't need to do very many things. All you have to do is be a mensch. Be a person, be a nice, friendly human being, that people should want to spend time with you, people should want to be like you. And this we find in probably two different ways. One way is also relevant, but I think the second way is even more relevant. The first way is obviously when it comes to our interaction between Yidden and Goyim, or between Orthodox Yidden, Yidden who are affiliated on people, Yidden who are less affiliated. The way we interact with them is going to make a huge impression on them. You have to understand that when a Goy sees a Yid, he doesn't just see us as a single person. He sees us as the representative of a Yid. And if we're going to do anything we are going to do, this is the way they are going to view the Yid. If we are going to act in a refined manner, they're going to say, "Wow, this is what Yidden are all about." If we are going to act in an unrefined manner, they're going to think that they're not going to say, "It's only him." They're going to say, "All the Yidden are like that." That's why it's extremely critical, important to understand the achrayus that we have, that wherever we go, we have to act in a refined manner. So, obviously, this itself has two points. Number one, that we have to represent ourselves as Yidden, as children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We cannot go and be embarrassed with the fact that we are Yidden and then expect them to like the Yidden, because if we don't stand out as Yidden, then they're not going to associate us with the Yidden. So the first and foremost thing is, tell them, be proud of the fact that you are a Yid. That be proud of the fact that you are son of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that you follow the Torah. And afterwards, when they're going to see you acting in a refined manner, they're going to say, "We want to be like the Yidden." I remember one story that stands out. That I was once walking down the street. People very often think, you know, if you act differently, then people are going to look down at you. I saw such a mistake. I was once going and I went in a black taxi. So he turns to me and he says, you know those Jews that they very often, we see them walking down the street with those fur hats and those silk coats, you know. He says, it's just something so majestic, something so beautiful. He says, I gave out a book called, the book is called Out of the Window of the Taxi. That's the name of my book. And what this book does is, I take pictures from interesting things that go on. And I've always wanted to take a picture of these people who go, these Jews who walk the street with those fur hats and majestic silk coats. And I wasn't sure whether they're going to allow me to take pictures of them, so I'd like to know, perhaps you would know any such person. So I said, it happens to be that I belong to those group of people, and it just depends what time of the week. Sometimes they wear a hat, other times we wear the fur hats. I give you permission, next time you see such a person, make sure to flash a few pictures of them, not only one. And if someone has any problem with it, tell them I gave you permission, my permission. So then I noticed that instead of a person being embarrassed, I'm going to walk down the street with this fur hat, everyone's going to start looking at me, thinking I'm a funny person. It works the other way around. If you are proud, and you're very strong with what you do, and you're not embarrassed, you're proud to be a Yid, then not only they're not going to look down at you, they're going to start respecting you. This is something which, if we interact with them, there's so many opportunities that we could make a Kiddush Hashem when we interact with them. You have a security guard standing outside. You greet him, you give him a smile, you say, hello, how was your day? It takes nothing. It takes a minute. For them, it means so much. The day is probably quite boring. It's a rather boring job to stand outside the whole day doing nothing. A person comes to them, gives them a smile. How was your day? It's a beautiful Kiddush Hashem. I very often try to do it. I can't say I always do it, but very often I try to do it. When there's a car that wants to turn into the road, then I very often stop. I blink him, I flash my lights, I let him go in. Obviously, when I'm not in a rush, I do that. Because I know that you can make a Kiddush Hashem. They're going to see this Haredi Jew sitting inside the car, and he's letting him go. He's going to start respecting the Eden. It's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, you could do that. I remember one occasion, I by mistake scratched someone's... I'm not sure whether I scratched it. I thought I may have scratched someone's car, a tiny little scratch. I wrote a little note on his window, put under his windshield to say that this is my number. I'm not sure, may have scratched your car. If you could please call me up. And if yes, I'm very happy to pay you for it. Half an hour later, I get a telephone call. This guy calls me up and he says, wow, this is the first time I've had such a thing. Someone that may have scratched my car and called me up. I knew that now I have opportunities. I told this guy, I said, listen, it's only if you have to understand that I'm a Jew. And us Jews, we have a Torah. And our Torah stresses the fact that we have to be so extremely careful with other people's possessions, not to ruin other people's things. So that's why it's my obligation. It's just, I didn't do anything unusual. That's what we have to do. If you think that you may have caused some harm to other person, you have to call them up. It's only manners. This is a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. It's an opportunity. Now he's going to start respecting the Torah. If this is what Torah is all about, they're going to start respecting them. These opportunities happen so many times that we have these opportunities to do this. I remember my grandfather. I have a grandfather living in America, in Milwaukee. So his father came to Milwaukee. He was called Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Twersky. He moved to Milwaukee in America many, many years ago. And there's many stories of the Kiddush Hashem that he made in his place. One story stands out. He had a garage in his house, which for some reason or another, the council felt that has to be taken down. It was some hazard of some sort. They called him up. They sent him a letter in the post to say that by the end of next week, this garage has to be down. They have to demolish the garage. And it was just before Yontov. They had no time to do it before Yontov. They decided to call up the council and ask them permission if they could extend the time, that they should have another few weeks to do it. They called up the council and they said, we'd like to ask for an extension, that we should be able to give us another few weeks. So the council asks, what's your name? So they said, our name is Twersky. Are you related to Rabbi Twersky, Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Twersky? So the fellow said, yes, it's his house. That's who we're talking about. If that's the case, not only am I not giving you an extension, you're not going to have to demolish the garage altogether. He said, why not? He said, I'll tell you. He said, he started his job as a simple postman. I don't know if any of you know what postman is. I still remember in the olden days, something called post. There used to be a postman going around the houses posting a post. He used to be a postman. A postman is not a very interesting job, to say the very least. And to give us a person of Asian background, a little bit dark. And they're not, you know, these people are not the type of people that you'd generally, you know, stop to talk to them. He says every single morning, 5 a.m, he always went down this road to post the posts. He used to post it through the rabbi's post box every single morning without fail. 20 seconds later, after he posted it in, the door opens up, and there is Rabbi Twisky standing there 5 a.m. My dear friend, how are you doing? How are you feeling? How's your day? Could I offer you a coffee or a tea? Every single day, without fail, 5 a.m, the door opened up, and he opened up for a Schwarzer person, someone he does not know, someone he's not, doesn't expect he's ever going to have any favors from him, just simply to be a mensch, to make a Kiddush Hashem. He says that's the tremendous Kiddush Hashem that this made. He says, if we're talking about this Rabbi Twisky, you can keep the garage, no need to change it at all. This is what it means to make a Kiddush Hashem. I remember my grandfather from Manchester, his name was Mr. Weiss. His Yutzat is going to be now, his first Yutzat is going to be now, this Riberi Schweiss, his name was also a tremendous, lovely person. He was a person who was, whatever he did, he made a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. He was a person that always had a smile on his face. My mother said that when we bought our house in Manchester from an unaffiliated Yid, he had a very, very negative view about Frum Yidin, always there, they're out to get your money, they're out to get you. He says, ever since he started dealing with my grandfather, he said, my view has changed completely. If this is what Frum Yidin are all about, always smiling, always giving in whenever there was a question of who has to give the money, always gave in, let it be. If this is what Frum Yidin are all about, then my view has changed completely. This happens so easily and so often. But I think even more important, even more common, is people think that it's only when we're talking about affiliated and less affiliated. That's not the case. Whenever there's a person who acts in a refined manner, and anyone else looks at this person and says, I wish I would be like him, that's a Kiddush Hashem. So you could have a person in the Smedish, and he davens with the Eilich away, he comes in on time for davening, stays till the very end, he davens with Kavona. There's someone standing at the side looking at him, wow, I wish my davening would be like him. If you go to work, you work with your colleagues, and you work with them in a very refined manner, you don't shout, you don't get angry, you work in a very honest way, then the other people look upon you and they say, wow, this is what From Eden is all about, I wish I would be like them. This is the Kiddush Hashem. If you come home to your house, and you're friendly to your wife, you're friendly, you help out at home, you're friendly to your children, you're nice to them, they say, if this is what From Eden is all about, you wanna lead such a lifestyle. That's a Kiddush Hashem. These things happen every single day, wherever we go, we're able to make a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Anytime there's one person that said, I wish I would be like him, if this is what From Eden is all about, I wish I would be like him, you have now made a Kiddush Hashem. This is our purpose in life. This is the reason why we were created. The Oyev Yisrael Abtruf says something phenomenal, he says. He says, when the Rebbeinu Shloim pulled over Ramavini, ve'eschu l'goy gudoil v'avorechichu v'agad l'shamechu, he says, the Nevi'im have the right to translate Hashem's words in any way that they feel is the right translation. He says, this pusik could be translated in two ways. The one obvious translation is that the Rebbeinu Shloim promises you, ve'al ve'eschu l'goy gudoil, I will give you children, I will give you money, I will give you fame, everything. That's the simple translation. He says, the Yetzirah came to Avraham Avinu and says, this is the way you should translate this pusik. Hashem wants you to go away from your house, make sure to do it, because you're going to become wealthy, because you're going to have a family, you're going to become famous. Avraham Avinu says, one second, there's a different way to translate this pusik. So Avraham Avinu shouts out to the Yetzirah and says, Do va'acha. Ve'esch lo'goygul could also be translated, Zesh amir melekai avruam. This is what from now on people will say, this is Elikai Avram. This is Elikai Avram. I wish we would be from his people. And this is what the Pusik says, V'nivrichi b'chu, kol mishpuchay s'vadum, what people are going to say, we want our children to be like Avram Avini. So this is the way Avram Avini translated the Pusik. So that the reason why Rashi pulled down this Pshat is because these were the words of Avram Avini. The Nisoyen Zuk the Abturu was this. This was a Nisoyen. The Rebbeinu Shlomo wanted to test Avram Avini to see if he would realize what is his purpose in life. Is his purpose in life to make money, to become famous? Is that his purpose in life? Or is his purpose in life, Zesh Omer Melekai Avram, Zesh Omer Melekai Yitzchak, that people will now start, the Kvod Shemayim will now go up. And Avram Avini, he succeeded in this test, and he overcame this test. This is Mas over Simda Bunim. This is one of the tests that every single Yid has every single day in his life. What is my focus in life? Is my focus in life to make more money, to become more famous, to invest in this world? Or is my focus in life to make a Kiddush Hashem wherever I go and whenever I go? Wherever I am, to understand Hashem sent me to this place, to live in this neighborhood. Hashem sent me to this workplace in order that I should make a Kiddush Hashem in this particular place with these particular people. This is my focus in life. And if someone does that, then that means that he overcame the Nisoya. Finish off with one little story. I once said there was a rabbi in Dallas, Texas. His name was Reb Arye Rode. He once had a Yid came into him, a Friar Yid, and he says he knows that he has a synagogue. He wants to start learning more about Yiddishkeit. There's no problem. He invited him to his house. He started learning with him. Slowly but surely, he became more and more affiliated until he became 100% Shem Shabbos, and eventually got married and built a beautiful family, but all from Yiddish Adoyris, so the children went to Kollelim and Yeshivas afterwards. At one occasion, Reb Ari turns to this fellow and he says, "What made you become Frum? Why did you all of a sudden decide to become Frum?" He says, "I'll tell you, I went to Eretz Yisrael on one of those tours, and I went touring all these sites, all the Mekomos HaKadoshim. One of the places I went was the Koisel HaMa'arovi. I came to the Koisel. It was an unbelievable experience. I stood there watching the Koisel, looking at the Koisel, thinking about Hashem. All of a sudden, I saw next to me a Yishalayim Yid, you know the Yishalayim Yid with his flat hats, with his Yishalayim Kaftan. And I saw him there, standing there, davening with such devotion, with such kavona, with such heart. And I saw him simply talking to the Ribbon Shalom. It's something that I'd never seen before. And I was just watching this person davening with his hands and with his mouth with such devotion. He says, I wish I could speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam the same way this person talks to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I decided then and there that when I'm going to come back, I'm going to start learning more about Frumkeit, because I also want to be able to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam the same way this Yerushalayim Yid spoke to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Said this Reb Ari, let's imagine, after my Be'esrim, after 120 years, this Yerushalayim Yid is going to come up to heaven and they're going to show him, says, you did Kiryat Rechayim, have a look. There's a whole beautiful Yiddish family in Texas that you were Makarev to Yiddishkeit. You got generations of generations of from Yidden that you were Makarev. He says, I'm Makarev. I haven't even got a passport. I've never left Eretz Yisrael. In my life, I live in Buta Inger and I never left Eretz Yisrael. Kiryat Rechayim in Dallas? He said, yes. You once were by the Koyestel, you davened with Kavona, and you made a Bal Tshive. We never ever know how many times we can inspire other people simply by being ourselves, simply by being a mensch, by being friendly, by being nice, by giving them a smile, giving them a good word, by acting in a refined manner. We are able to make Kiryat Rechayim every single minute of the day. This, we are able to make a Kiddush Hashem, and if we do that with the Rambam, then the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to say, "Vayoyim li avdi atu Yisrael asher b'chu espuer," and we bezoichem ez Hashem bekulev mamash to the biggest Kiddush Hashem, v'bias girl tzedek v'mhayri b'mayni. Amen.